Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
As a Syrian, as a Muslim, as a refugee, as a woman, it means that the stability that I fled to the United States looking for, it doesn't exist anymore.
Let's look deeper now at some of the real human consequences of this immigration ban. President Trump has used words like vetting of immigrants and refugees and, quote, extreme vetting, something the president has promised, will now be in place. What do those words mean? What does vetting amount to as immigrants already here remember it? And what do they fear will be faced by friends and family trying to enter the U.S. now? Sena Mustafa is a 25-year-old Syrian refugee who arrived in the U.S. in 2013, penniless and alone, to attend a class sponsored by the State Department. She remained. And she says it was a positive experience to be welcomed with open arms in the U.S. and the hope of the American dream. But the latest travel ban by the Trump administration has put her family, who have been in the process of applying for resettlement to the U.S. from Syria, for 3 years in a vulnerable place, tarnishing, in her view, that positive experience.
The hope to come to the United States and build a new life and be reunited after the war torn us in Syria is also this dream doesn't exist anymore, I believe.
What happened to you when you came to the United States? Did the government investigate you, talk to members of your family,
yes,
attempt to figure out if stories you were telling on your applications were true? Were you aware of that investigation as
sure.
It was going on?
Of course. When you seek asylum, of course, there's a huge vetting and security screening process that happens to your application. And the application itself, it's a lot of work. It's basically, you work with a lawyer. You can't work it alone even. And you need to provide evidences that prove going back to your country would risk your life personally. So, of course, I had to bring a lot of evidences to prove this. And once done this, it takes them a while to really security screen you and, you know, all the United States security agencies vet you, basically.
And this is far more than just checking in your luggage.
Oh, it's far more than that. For example, also my family who are refugees in Turkey and trying to be resettled to the United States, they have been in process for resettlement. For 3 years, they have been going through security screening by 12 United States security screening agencies. Yet, they are not accepted to come here. And due to the executive orders now, their file got suspended like other refugees.
So 3 years has already passed.
Yes.
And now this new order shuts things down completely.
Exactly. I mean, they claim that it's only for 120 days, then we'll see what's going to happen. But, I mean, after 120 days, are they going to welcome us more? I'm sure other laws and other orders will come out.
What is your understanding of the difference between vetting and extreme vetting that we've heard a lot here in the U.S.?
This is what I'm trying to understand from Mr. Trump, claiming that extreme vetting will happen. What more extreme than this could happen? I mean, when you come here, every single country that you have visited or traveled, even for tourism reasons, they vet you in every single country you have traveled to. They vet you in your own country. They vet you in your host country. They vet you for your, like, going back, tracing your grandfathers. What more could be done? Because I think we're already going through extreme vetting.
You pose absolutely no threat to the United States on any level, right?
I believe so. You know, even statistics showed that very few terror attacks that were conducted by refugees or immigrants. Actually, most of the time, they are just white people.
Have you ever known anyone from your country or others who was caught by this vetting process, who you believed was, in fact, a threat?
Actually, it has never happened to anyone I know of. Those who have reputation or have done something bad, they would not apply to the United States, period. You know, knowing what they will go through and knowing the amount and the level of security screening. Most of the terror attacks that happened here, for example, were conducted by United States citizens. They could have, like, be first or second generation immigrants, but they are not coming on a visa waiver program or refugee program.
All right. So as someone who is very experienced with the practice of this vetting, if you were in a position to advise President Trump. What would you tell President Trump the threat is?
Yeah, I think the threat is here now. I think when you see now the incidents that when people discriminate against people in the United States, having given the green light by their own president in discriminating against other people, I think this is the threat we're facing now. I am afraid now of walking in the street sometimes and being discriminated against. And it's happening, and not only on a people level, it's happening. We see videos now on a policy level when the president himself discriminates against reporters and journalists on the media and on TV, millions of people watching it, and no one says anything. And other people, those who look up to him, they see a role model in him. I think this is the threat.
Emotionally, how are you feeling about all of this?
I'm not feeling well at all. You know, when we fled Syria, you know, you flee and you think stability or safety is in your host country. And we have suffered a lot. We have lost a lot. We have sacrificed a lot. So when I came to the United States, I really was hoping that it's a place I will be able to build something. And eventually I will be able to be reunited with my family here. But now, I actually cannot leave the country. If I leave, I can't come back. After 3 years and a half of being here and actually going through a lot of hardships to get this asylum, to get this refugee status, to get then my green card, you know, now if I leave, I can't come back. And the same, my family cannot come here. Our pain doesn't end with Syria borders.
Does this feel like a Muslim ban to you?
I mean, I don't need to feel it. It says it explicitly in words that the 7 Muslim countries, Muslim refugees, and it's a Muslim ban. And the problem is when President of the United States, when he says that Islamic terrorist, I mean, this is the problem. Terrorism has no religion. And when you are associating one religion with this label always, this actually changes people. It's brainwashing for people's mind.
You know, President Obama didn't exactly have the best reputation on, shutting down the border or deportations. How would you compare what Donald Trump is doing with what happened during the Obama administration and even the George W. Bush administration?
I'm aware of that many Mexicans, unfortunately, were deported during Obama administration, and it is very upsetting. But I feel like now the level that we have reached with Trump is beyond this. It's violating the international laws. It's violating the U.S. Constitution itself.
Senator Mustafa, thank you so much. I really appreciate you speaking with us.
Thank you so much.